really interested and high kind of flying business women is the rejection. It's actually got a name for it. It's rejection sensitivity dysphoria. You're being too sensitive, that those kind of people. And the way we communicate with them, the language that we use, the way that we remind them that they're running late, we've already spoke about this, it just adds and adds and adds to that brick wall that they're putting in front of themselves. And to see these very confident women in their areas of business be that vulnerable and say these things to me was really, really surprising.
You're listening to the Bookkeepers Podcast, sponsored by Xero.
I use Xero's accounting and bookkeeping software to manage my clients' accounts, and I love it. If you haven't tried it yet, head over to Xero.com with an X, and you can either start a free 30-day trial or sign up to Xero's partner program to join their amazing community, forward-thinking accountants and bookkeepers.
Hi, and welcome to the Bookkeepers Podcast. Today, I am joined by Becky Bridges. Oh my goodness, I'm going to put my teeth in. I'm joined by Becky Bridges of May.i Finance Limited. Hi, Becky, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me on to talk about this. I'm really excited to start branching out into this area. So thanks for giving me the launch pad, Jo.
You're welcome. I mean, being on a podcast can feel quite nerve-wracking. Usually I'm here with Zoe Whitman, but Zoe's on holiday, so it's just me today. And hence, yeah. I'm a little bit rusty at running a podcast on my own. But this is the whole point. We have to, like, get out there and just try and do things. Mm. And I'm sure you're feeling the same. It's a little bit nerve-wracking, isn't it?
Yeah, it gets easier, doesn't it? And I think the more we're passionate about what we're talking about, that makes it easier as well. If there's a reason to niche, that's it, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Becky, do you want to tell us a little bit about your journey as a bookkeeper? Mm-hmm. I mean, tell us about meeting us in Six Figure, and then, like, what's happened since you've met us, and you're diversifying and going off in different tangents. Wow. Take us on the journey.
A quick journey. It's been a long journey. So before I came across the Six Figure bookkeeper, I was accountant in industry predominantly, and then during COVID it all came to a head. As a mother, as more than anything, I decided to set up my own business, but it was more consulting, going into just small businesses. It was just me helping them fix the problems that they were having. There was a recurrent theme. It was generally admin, not understanding finance, trying to DIY it and it all going wrong. So I was the fixer to all that, because I love that kind of stuff, the numbers and the audit. And then once I'd finished that, obviously there's a lot of trust built there, I was asked, can you now be my accountant and my bookkeeper? And I didn't have the capacity. So then that's where I came across you guys and decided that as a side hustle, I'd have a bookkeeping practice. But then when I stepped into your world, everything changed. Now the consult, I barely do any of that work. It's kind of all intertwined now, and I built my bookkeeping practice up to, it just kind of all incorporates it as part of the service. But then I decided I wanted to niche. So I went on the journey of mums in business. I am a mum in business and I get the struggles. And for me, there isn't life and work. It's all kind of one together. So probably the beginning of last year, mums in business was the niche that I wanted to kind of push down into. But then, strangely enough, it's not really happened in my bookkeeping practice. I've found that I'm helping them in more of a coaching aspect. And it's progressed from there, really. I'm writing a book this year and a course to help that work-life blend and business foundation, specifically aimed at mums that are overwhelmed in business. They're already in the business and overwhelmed. That's kind of the target. But as part of that journey and as I've been networking more, it became more apparent that late in life diagnosis for ADHD is one of the big problems that these overwhelmed mums are kind of finding that that's the reason, you know, and it's all come to a head at that point. So being the lifelong learner that I am, I decided that I wanted to be neurodivergent friendly in my business, and I was looking for ways to be inclusive in certain areas. And I came across an accreditation to be an AD, ADHD practitioner, and that just bolts on to whatever industry that you're in. And then as part of that process, and again, you kind of mix with different networking groups. As soon as people find out that you're an accountant or you've kind of got that background, all the questions come out. How can you help me with this? I find this hard. And again, there was a recurrent theme. And I feel, I don't know if you're the same, Joe, but whenever I see a problem, especially if it's a recurrent theme, my mind just instantly jumps to, oh, there's a problem there that can be fixed, that I can be, you know, I can help with that. What feel like simple things to me because of the industry background and the time I've kind of been in the industry. It just all kind of fit. Like, there's definitely a gap here. They're definitely struggling. One of the things with neurodivergent clients is they're very, very good business people. You know, they're creative, they're intuitive, they take risks. When you think about the business aspect, that's why it's an entrepreneurial trait to, you know, to be an ADHDer, for example. It just kind of fits, but then they fall down with certain areas, and that's where we really need to come in. So as I was talking, it's predominantly women that I've been networking with because of where I wanted to niche. But I just thought there's an opportunity here because I network with you guys, so it's a good platform for me to bring that voice in for them. And similarly, tomorrow I'll be speaking at an ADHD summit to ADHDers about money management and how they can help their accountants. So it's a really good couple of days. I've got to dip my toes in both ponds and bridge that communication gap. That's what I'm hoping anyway. So, yeah,
wow.
That's how we got here today.
And that's the thing about being an entrepreneur, is that we can diversify. We get to design the business that we want to run. We can say yes to different things, no to certain things. And I definitely recognize in myself that employment was too, like, held my hands back too much.
Restrictive.
I felt that there was, when there's opportunities and you're like, oh, there's a problem there that needs to be fixed in a corporate job, no one wants you to fix it quickly. And no one wants, like, if there's an easy solution, they want to take the long, hard way and have many meetings and many emails about it. Whereas I find that when we're entrepreneurs, which I'm assuming is like this ADHD trait, is that, you know, I don't think I've got ADHD. I don't know. I definitely know I'm high functioning anxiety, which leads into, you know, like, I feel anxious and it makes me move quickly. And makes me not finish the tasks I started on, and I don't like doing boring things. And I, you know, my poor mum is in our team, and she's very much, we like to call her an owl. You know, she's very detailed and everything. And me and Zoe aren't. She's like, did you want to tell me about this new thing you've launched? Because that's going to impact my day to day. And I'm like, oh, sorry, forgot to mention it. So I resonate with the traits, and I think they're really powerful when you're an entrepreneur, because you want to be reactive and you want to move. And don't get me wrong, Zoe is a lot more risk adverse than I am, and I think there's people that entrepreneurs come in all different shapes and sizes. But when you mix it with the history and your background and of being a mum in business and managing that as well, you're like just bringing everything that you know and you recognize and things that you can help people with and go, oh, I can help here. And what about if we put accountancy and bookkeeping and finance for entrepreneurs alongside how I can help you if you've got ADHD and if you're a mum? I just love that.
It just seems to be a big mixing bowl of all the things people needed, you know, when they get to a crisis point. And it's the more you network, the more you hear about these problems. It's you kind of think, if they just knew all of this at the beginning, you don't need to get to this crisis point.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, so that's it does feel like a bit of a mixed bag of services, but it's working. It's working.
Okay,
and I can see that it's helping.
And that's the main thing, isn't it? So, okay, yeah. So when there's a business owner that has ADHD or is neurodiverse, neurospicy, yeah. whatever you want to call the terminology, what are the main things that they really struggle with?
So can I just, I suppose one of the things, and this is not here, I'm not here to teach you about ADHD, but I think it's important to just kind of underline what it is first. I'll be very quick with that, because I still day to day come across people that think it's naughty boy syndrome. It's parenting mishaps, you know, that kind of thing. So it's a neurodevelopmental disorder, and that's not laziness. It doesn't come from parenting, you know, it's not choice. And I think if people can get their head around the fact that this is not a motivation and planners can't fix this, and, you know, it's not a choice. It's a lot, lot deeper than that, and more than even an hour's worth I'd be able to tell you with that. But to come at it from a place of empathy, you'd feel a lot better about these relationships. And the reason I say that is because as an accountant, prior to knowing what the difficulties were, I used to have those pain in the ass clients. You're forever telling them the same thing. They're always late. They don't care. You know, they just stressed me out to the hilt. And then when you start scratching the surface of these things, felt terrible, because I thought, what if the past clients that I've disengaged with because they didn't fit the way that I wanted to work, we didn't gel, what if I just needed to tweak something and approach the, you know, because one size doesn't fit all. So there's, you know, there's that element of it. But then also there'll be some people that don't know that they've got ADHD and they just think that they're failing. So this is not about one spotting neurodivergence within your client base. I suppose the reason that I'm here is the hope that if you do want to be neurodivergent friendly, one, understanding that you will have to work and communicate with neurodivergence in a different way if you want it to be successful with that. But also if neurodivergents are aware that you're aware of the issues that they have, they'll be more open with you. Your client's probably not going to plonk themselves in front of you and go, I'm just letting you know, I've got ADHD, because there's still a societal blockage with that. It's, you know, people don't just want to open up. There's a lot of judgment there. So it's just about recognizing that. So in terms of what, thinking about bookkeeping and accounting, not all the problems, the planning and organization is executive dysfunction is the, you know, your working memory is one of the biggest things that cause problems around the planning and organization, focus. A lot of ADHDers that I've met are very interest-based. So if they find it boring, long-winded, or they don't understand it, it's like a physical shut-off of the brain. It's not something that they can control. It's not, oh, I'm not bothered, I'm, you know, I'm not listening. There's a reaction there, and it's just a physical cut-off. These are your deadline dancers, you know, the 11th hour, and the high stress environment, having that deadline, kind of pumps up the energy and the focus. You know, this is the hyper-focus superpower that you might see people talk about in ADHD. It's not healthy. Yeah, we can do amazing things with our clients that are like that. But it's not healthy to let them deliver this information to you in that way, whether it's every month end that you're finding that, or particularly around self-assessments, you know, the 29th, 30th, 31st of January type people, and they're scrambling around. The other thing that was a common theme at the table when I was sat, I had a meal recently with some really, really interested and high kind of flying business women, is the rejection. It's actually got a name for it. It's rejection sensitivity dysphoria. And it's a real, the too sensitive, you're being too sensitive, that those kind of people. And the way we communicate with them, the way we email, maybe message, the language that we use, we might not feel like that. We might feel like they're being too sensitive, but on the back of the way we're communicating with our clients, you know, the way that we remind them that they're running late with the language that we use, you're running late with getting me this, we've already spoke about this. It just adds and adds and adds to that brick wall that they're putting in front of themselves. And to see these very confident women in their areas of business be that vulnerable and say these things to me was really, really surprising. And these are just the things that we don't think about. You know, it's like, it's just a receipt, take a picture when you've got the coffee. It's just an invoice, just press forward, you know, these executive function skills aren't like a neurotypical, and we just got to be sensitive with that. There's one of the other big things is over scheduling and time blindness.
Right.
That is a recurrent thing. I think even with moms in business, the underestimating or overestimating the amount of time that they've got is, they might have agreed something with you, or you've kind of got your plan or your monthly schedule, however you'll work with those clients. And they might think, right, I can do that on this day because it's only going to take me half an hour, when in fact it might be 3 hours work, and then nothing gets done because they haven't allocated enough time. And, you know, and this is not about babysitting or spoon feeding. It's just recognizing that, especially if you've got some clients that are making you feel like this. And obviously then it has an impact on us as accountants and bookkeepers, on our schedules, on our deadlines. It's just being mindful of that and kind of putting things in place, really. I mean, there's a lot more things that struggle with, but they were just the key things that kind of came up as the recurrent theme of what it was impacting them on their day to day.
Yeah. It's really interesting because obviously recently I've moved from being practice owner to now a business owner. Mm-hmm. And when in my practice, I naturally attracted people with ADHD and autism. Now, I thought it was more the sector, mm-hmm. the salon owner sector, but also some of them were just numbers blind. They just didn't resonate with it, or they would say, I'm bad with numbers. And sometimes that is, they weren't diagnosed, but they were acting in a similar way. And just struggled with things. And what's interesting, so I set up, you know, I talk about my onboarding processes. I talked a lot about how we were doing weekly bookkeeping. I moved all my meetings from an hour long to 20 minutes long. And I started communicating not on email, but on WhatsApp. But I did it across the board. And then I'm realizing that I was actually changing some things which actually felt better for me, mm-hmm. but also felt better for them. And now as a business owner with my own bookkeeper, I realize I've been managed this week by my bookkeeper in the same way that you just talked about, because I had loads and loads of outstanding receipts. Now, do I know what I need to do as a book? Yes. Do I know the value and the importance? Yes. But me and Zoe have been away. We've been busy. And I always start off really well. I get to the train station. I take a photo. I don't know if you saw recently, I accidentally took a really bad mug shot because it was on the wrong camera.
I did.
So I was like, yeah. So I start out with all the best intentions. Mm-hmm. And then there's another receipt. And then there's another receipt. And then I'm buying dinner. And then I'm doing this. And I end up with them all in my handbag. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So she reached out to me, our bookkeeper this week. And she said, what can I do to support you with getting these over the line? There's a few. So what we do at the moment, I said to her, don't give me one list a week. It's too many. Can you send me three at a time? Right. So I'm just realizing now that how I have to be managed.
Yes.
When she said to me, what can I do to support you? I said, nothing. I just need to do it. But now you've asked me, I'm going to sit down. And I spent about 6 hours on Saturday going through everything. Now, I'm a bookkeeper. I know the importance. And it's not that I'm a bad person. I just can't sometimes do it. And I take on the ownership of most of it. Zoe has some, does some as well. And we're finding ways of working as business owners, as busy mums. You know, there's so many factors that are coming in. Mm-hmm. And I've just, when you were talking, I just thought, oh my goodness, I've been managed myself this week. But I loved it. It felt good. It felt like supportive rather than, have you seen how many are outstanding? It was just, how can I support you to help you get these things together?
Yeah. And the language is definitely key with that.
Yeah. I felt supported. And I thought, actually, I don't need you to do anything. I've just got to do it myself. And I kicked myself up the bottom and I did it. So I'm
loving it. And it is that accountability is a big, it's really needed, the accountability, but not in a shameful way or you've done something wrong, like a supportive accountability. Something just came to mind actually when we were talking about something a bit earlier and I didn't say. Two of the comorbidities with ADHD, so generally things that run alongside another problem, a dyslexia and I don't know if I can say it properly, dyscalculia, which is problems with numbers. Mm. And one of the things that's not associated with ADHD, it's not an intelligence problem. You know, ADHDs can be extremely intelligent, but what we think might be simple, you know, like entering in a receipt, and a lot of it's automated now, but entering in that information can be really, really difficult for even the most intelligent person, you know, if they've got these additional problems with that. I did have a chat with some of the ladies that I was speaking to, and I've got in their words some of the problems that they find, which I'll be reading from a sheet because I can't remember them all.
I think
that would be useful to kind of go through that. So let me just give you an idea of the kind of, well, they're not my client base at the minute, but kind of the circles I'm moving in with networks. We've got therapists, psychologists, 6 and 7 figure entrepreneurs, beauty industries big, you know, because ADHD is like to natter. It's good on your feet, busy, you know. So I asked them, what do you find difficult when dealing with accountants and bookkeepers, or what would you find helpful? So similar to, you know, the support question that you were asked. I am disorganized and it's embarrassing. So there's obviously feelings of embarrassment there. Plenty of notice and reminders of deadlines to know what's coming up. Someone reminded me that it's not the knowing what to do, it's the actual doing. Bookkeepers speak in a different language. So that actually comes up everywhere, doesn't it? We might think that we're being clear when actually we're not. It's not that I'm incapable at doing my finance tasks, but having someone with me until I understand fully what I need to do would really help to explain it in a way that I understand. Overwhelmed working at systems that allow me to record my income as expenses because of this struggle and not being able to ask for help. So that's something else, you know, that embarrassment of asking for help. I leave my self-assessment until the very last minute. So that, you know, that support early on, not being there is, not being able to ask for that support is creating a, I feel judged. I feel stupid, but I am not. I am a very successful business owner.
Yeah.
My past traumas with money issues show up in running my business and when I speak to my accountant. It would be helpful to have templates to fill in, and Loom videos are good on what needs to be done. So that's kind of the visual aspect.
Yeah.
Step-by-step guides were another one. I got a wooden spoon from my accountant for several years as I couldn't get my head around what they needed from me. I used to rely on hyper-focus, stress, and looming deadlines to get things done. So that's, you know, that cycle of I've had these clients before as well, and I've actually disengaged with clients like that. We've been together years, you're not getting it, we're not right for each other. And hearing it from that perspective is, that was like a sucker punch for me. I always feel that I'm letting them down. That surprised me in a different way because we work for them.
Yeah.
So to have a mindset that you're letting your accountant down or bookkeeper. Financial penalties are not a motivator. I can't relate to that future me. I need support today. And I know this to be true with some of mine because I increased my prices to stop January deadline dancers and it didn't work. The price increase didn't work. I feel guilt, shame, and overwhelm. It shuts me down. My anxiety means I need gentle props and prompt and support. Accountants don't know how to speak to you like that. They send my anxiety through the roof. So that was, that was sad to hear.
Yeah.
And the last one, it's so boring, I procrastinate. It's because I know what's coming. Feelings of failure, tiredness, getting tangled up and disheartened.
Wow. So
they were...
Such important insights into, and yesterday there was more of these posts about, is AI going to take away our job? How is AI going to deal with like being gentle, encouraging, holding people accountable, knowing when to, you know, reach out?
Yes,
you need to be human for this.
And these are strong emotions that are coming through with all of this, the embarrassment, the shame, the guilt. And obviously, like I'd mentioned before, some of the people that I'm talking to now were diagnosed late in life. Now, there's a whole host of issues and shame, guilt, trauma that comes with masking or being undiagnosed and being ADHD in a neurotypical world. And that's why I think if we come with it, with an empathetic view to this, the relationships can only get stronger from there. And they'll probably open up, these people that need this support, or you might find that the tools that you can have in place to be ADHD friendly might also just help the overwhelmed mum she's absolutely wired, you know, these things. It's just coming out from a different perspective rather than the factual, you've got your deadlines. We've talked about this multiple times.
I'm seeing that, you know, everything that was putting in place kind of helped, you know, the busy dad who was running, who had 20 subcontractors working for him. And he was, you know, all of these things, it's just helping the human condition, whatever that is, to be supportive and know that, at some point, even bookkeepers, and I know on our finance sessions that, you know, we know what to do. Doesn't mean that we do it. Doesn't mean that we have our own management accounts and cash flow forecasts and get our invoicing done on time and don't have any outstanding debts and credit control. We all struggle.
Yeah.
So we need to get off of our high horses, speak in plain English, simple terms, you know, this whole... letting people, I've sat in meetings and I'm sure we all have with people that really know their stuff and they just say really long words. And we used to think, oh my goodness, they must be so intelligent.
Yes.
All they're trying to do is make you feel, making you feel less than. So Becky, with this in mind, with all of, with your becoming an ADHD practitioner, with your history in accountancy, with the fact that you're also building, you know, you've been working on passive income and books and courses, what does the future hold for you and how are you going to be supporting people? How, you know, if there's someone listening to you go, oh, I want to learn more about what Becky's doing, how are you going to be supporting people?
I kind of want to go down the coaching route with it. For my mum's in business and the ADHD practitioner side as well, because there's a lot of overwhelm there. So with the book and the course, there'll be an element, I mean, to be fair, I don't mind writing a book because people will read it and then be like, I need help doing that. It's that hand holding. I want to offer more with the bookkeeping practice. It's very one-to-one because it's very specific, where I'd like to be able to give people the skills and the knowledge and the support, really, that accountability, things like body doubling, teaching them how to manage themselves, because, you know, when you tell people what that, it's not the knowing, it's the doing. Telling people it's not going to work, it's kind of coaching them through what works for you in your life. So coaching is definitely where I want to go with that. And developing toolkits that people can buy. And that's the creative side of me. I don't just want to do the number crunching anymore. It's just through every stage that I find myself in, I pick up a new skill set, and then it helps me fix another problem. So the bookkeeping this practice is still going to be there. I'm just moving more to a subcontractor model with that, and I'm keeping just the bigger clients.
Yeah. Can I ask, what is body doubling?
Having somebody my husband actually calls it hand holding. It's having someone there with you. And this is not just a neurodivergent thing. This is game changing. So do you know the accountability sessions that you have with 6FB? That's body doubling. Yeah. Right. You might notice I'm one of these, I don't mind the teapots being on the side while I sit down and watch TV, but if somebody came round, I'd completely clean the kitchen while we're having coffee. That's form of body doubling. Listening to podcasts while you're doing a boring task like folding the laundry, or, you know, similar, like we just said with the 6FB, the group sessions where you're kind of just there and having somebody watching you work, even though it's virtual, it's being sat in silence, and you know that at any time somebody could be look up and you're on your phone, you don't want that. Just being held accountable. It's like accountability.
Nice. Sessions.
They are game changing, and I use them where possible. I'd like to do more group ones, because then it's more cost effective for the user. But in all aspects, business and personal life, it's fantastic. And I have got some ideas on the page from when I was networking with these women. And I'd offer a few if you've got time.
Absolutely. Kind of, yeah, please.
Things that we discussed that we thought might help. So body doubling is obviously one of them. So this doesn't mean that we all have to go out and say we're all ADHD savvy or neurodivergent savvy. I think just letting people know that, and obviously if you want to be, that you're neurodivergent friendly, and we discussed this, what these business women were saying is they would choose a neurodivergent friendly business over one that they didn't know if they were or they weren't. So if you're vocal about being friendly to neurodivergence, what they assume that means is that you'll understand and you'll listen and you'll tailor your service to what they need. And that could also be paid or otherwise. It could be a bolt-on service that if you're a neurodivergent, we offer this additional service. So it doesn't have to be free, which could include the additional accountability and, you know, things like that. So with that in mind, the first thing was guide them, don't tell them. This is not about hand holding and spoon feeding and saying this is a list, you need to do this, 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 and this. It's just giving them that room and that compassion, really, and letting them figure it out for themselves, but kind of coaching them through it. Ask them what they think they need, because neurodivergence aren't all equal. Some might excel in one area and not in another. Letting them know you're neurodivergent friendly. If you're in a face-to-face environment, there's a lot of embarrassment about the fact that they need to fidget and move, looking somebody in the eye, or they like to wander. Letting them know that you're comfortable with them. Mm-hmm. If they need to get up, have a glass of water. If you're virtual, does it need to be Zoom, where they have to sit down like you and I are having a conversation on a screen? If you have a phone call, that enables a neurodivergent to be able to walk while they talk or fiddle or do what they need to do without that embarrassment or shame or being, you know, feeling like they're judged, which was a big one for me, because I always book Zooms in but now I do try and do more phone calls. No long meetings. I mean, nobody likes long meetings anyway, do they? But, you know, when you're sticking an hour in for a meeting because you're trying to cram everything in, it really doesn't work. bite-sized tasks. So one of the things was having they know what they've got to do, and it's this massive list of things to do. They didn't feel supported, and then that, you know, that's just a shut off. No mass info dumping. So one of the things that was discussed is really long emails, particularly around like self-assessment, and you're just like, this is what you need to pay, this. They'd rather have the people that I spoke to, you know, consider having a 2 to 3 emails on different days outlining a process, you know, the urgent one first and whatnot. And visual representations of information rather than just sticking a P&L. A lady that was talking to said she's been looking at P&L, she's been a business owner for a very long time, and she still just, it just freezes. Like, what the hell am I looking at? She's a very visual, colourful person. Self-identifying again areas where they need that support. We've talked about being empathetic, and then helping them find their high energy times and focus. Some might have that every day, some might have that every week. But then another thing that we're exploring is, as women in particular, our hormone cycles don't reset every day. Our hormone cycle's 28 days long, and there are 4 very distinct phases in that. So add on your ADHD symptoms on top, there's probably 2 weeks of the month that these women are absolutely flawed. So find your high energy focus time and work your internal deadlines around that. So they were some of the big things that you know, they mentioned while we were having this conversation. And nothing jumps out as me as, oh, that'd be too much to add on as a service. They're all relatively simple things that could have a massive impact, well, for them and your relationship as well. Yeah, and the more that they get over this, the more money they can earn in their business, which can only be better for you.
Yeah, and what really jumped out was that the fact is that they would pay extra for this. There's no issue there. They actually want...
Yeah.
They just want the support. They just want someone
to understand them and support. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel the same. I definitely resonate with all the things that you mentioned. I'm like, yeah, why, you know, and I, in our onboarding process, when we were meeting once a week, they were just 15-minute meetings, and it really helped everybody. And just because you just want to check in and know, it's that a little accountability piece. I think this has been fascinating, how we can easily help and support our business owner, entrepreneurs, regardless of, I mean, if they're female and they're going, you know, they have a 28-day cycle. I definitely know that I have a lot more energy at the beginning of a week compared to the end of the week, and also in the morning compared to the afternoon. I could, like, if someone asked me that and was like, I'm really interested to know, so when we can work together, we can phone. I'm like, that's not hard to ask, you know, you know, and make sure that you're helping. I think it's fascinating. So
and these are really good things to ask at the onboarding stage as well. And just being aware of that. I mean, cycle syncing is also something that I'm working on in the background for personally as well as, and that's diet, exercise, and my business in sync with the female hormone cycle, because we're in a very male, you know, dominant world. They reset every 24 hours. It doesn't work like that for us. And me, myself, working in my business, I know when certain things will not be put in my diary, and it's an absolute game changer. So when you factor all these things in, and it's almost like giving permission, and if you can ask these questions at onboarding, And it doesn't even have to be a neurodivergent question or aimed at that. Just asking our clients these they are personal questions, aren't they? They don't have to answer them, but it's only going to help you with your relationship. And then we're not getting upset as accountants and bookkeepers. Is it us? You know, are we not explaining things properly? Are these a pain in the arse and we just need to offboard and it be somebody else's problem? We can repair or even stop the relationship souring which is only good for us and our stress levels. And because especially the people I've met in the six figure, we're people, we don't want to let people down. If people send us stuff late, I'm not going to send it back and go, well, we're going to have a penalty then. I'll be working until 11, 12 o'clock at night to get that VAT return in. And it's stressful. So, you know, it will benefit us if we can help them manage this out. So, yeah.
And like you said at the beginning, it's very much about just being more empathetic to everybody and actually helps you out in the long run. Becky, so if people want to find out more about what it is that you're doing and how you help people, where would you like them to connect with you?
Well, there's my website, beckybridges.com, because that focuses, I've actually changed the name of my limited company. So I'm May I Solutions Limited now, and I've got multiple trading names under that. So I've got the finance element, but if you go to beckybridges.com, it points to all my socials and my different areas of business. And I'd also, if it's not too much of an ask, I'd be really grateful if people have just got a minute, whether to drop a comment in the group under kind of this podcast of tomorrow I'll be speaking to at the summit about the money management. There's different bits I'll be talking about, but I think it'd be a great platform of, from your perspective as a bookkeeper, you know, what do you struggle with, and particularly the things I've been talking about today and how it impacts you and the things that it might help. If there's anything that I could incorporate in tomorrow while I've got their ears, then feel free to do that. Socials and website.
Can you just remind everybody, if they missed the beginning, what it is that you're doing tomorrow?
Oh, so I'm speaking with Kim Rain about, it's an ADHD summit, so it's aimed at ADHDers. Kim's an expert in her field. She's an ADHD high performance coach. So I'll be speaking tomorrow evening with her about money management, finance, and actually the shame around that, because impulsivity and spending is a big issue for a lot of ADHDs. It's the impulsivity side. And again, I've not mentioned that today, but that's probably something that you might find some of your business owners just being a bit frivolous with the money and not really thinking about the consequences. So I'll be speaking to them about that tomorrow. So, yeah.
Well, thank you. So anyone got any ideas or anything to put forward from a bookkeeper or accountant's point of view, please comment on this post. Becky, it has been an absolute delight learning from you today all about ADHD and how we can support our clients that are neurodiverse much better. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you all for listening in, and we will see you this time next week on the Bookkeepers Podcast. Take care. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for the Bookkeepers Podcast. Why not join us in the Six Figure Bookkeepers Club at sixfigurebookkeeper.club or visit our website, sixfigurebookkeeper.com.